that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning once again, May 25th, 2013. A beautiful blue sky here at the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we'll welcome in the Wranglers this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Remnant, for joining us. And we know that the Remnant is out there joining us from sea to shining sea. And, you know, we'll say good morning, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for joining us for coffee this morning, because we gather in his name, the name of Jesus Christ, the only name of the Son of God. And our word tells us that when two or more gather in his name, he is there also. So maybe we should put a chair in here, huh? Have an empty chair in here for him. I don't think he needs that, but he does join his people when they gather in his name. So, Lord, we welcome you as well. And Jason, we'll ask you if you would open up in prayer for us this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this radio broadcast. We ask that you guide us and direct us, and that you just give us the words to speak, that you help us to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and just to put in those in our minds those thoughts that you want us to get across. We pray for the remnant across this land, and we just lift them up to you and just ask, Father, for you to see to it that they are tended to properly. Father, we pray for wisdom for the remnant. We pray for knowledge, understanding. We pray for deliverance from their enemies, Father. And we just ask you to continue to guide us and direct us in these times that we're living in. And we're so grateful that you do. And we just come before you and bring all our needs before you, Father. And we're grateful to be able to have access to your throne. Oh, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for this time of prayer and fasting, and just we're thankful for the saints that have stepped up to the plate, took part in this. We just ask, Father, that you bless them and that you do that you heal this land, Father, that you heal it, that you continue to guide us and direct us in what we're to do and how we're to do it, we can get this land back. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And quite the week this week. Lots going on. I'll just open it up with whoever wants to start where. Time for me to get a sip of coffee.
One. Who's this? Did you say something, Jason?
No, but I can.
Yep. So. Go ahead, John. Start us off.
Sorry. Must have an echo or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just looking for things to talk about yesterday, and boy, something sure jumped out at me. Talk about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and the tares becoming more bold and brazen by the day and just boldly proclaiming what they're doing. They have to tell us, you know. So here we go. The title of this article was Biden Praises Jewish Leaders for Helping Change Americans' Views on Gay Marriage. And then this is during a speech last night, Biden said culture and arts change people's attitudes. He also cited social media and the old NBC TV series Will and Grace as examples of what changed perspectives of one of America's most contentious social issues.
Yeah.
And then it says, wasn't anything we legislatively did. It was Will and Grace. It was the social media. Literally, that's what changed people's attitude. That's why I was so certain that the vast majority of people would embrace and rapidly embrace gay marriage, Biden said. Think behind all that. I bet you 85% of those changes, whether it's in Hollywood or social media, are a consequence of Jewish leaders in the industry. The influence is immense. And the
And he said that twice.
That?
He says that twice just to make sure that we get it.
The influence is immense. The influence is immense. And I might add, it is all to the good, he said.
Well, it is. It's all to the good. That's just, that is. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
It's all to the good. For those that call evil good and good evil.
Right. But, I mean, this whole just totally exposes. It says Jews have also been key to the evolution of American jurisprudence, whatever that is. He continued name-dropping Brandeis, Fortes, Frankfurter, Cardoza, Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan. You literally can't. You can't talk about the recognition of rights of the Constitution without looking at these incredible jurists that we've had. Jewish heritage has shaped who we are, all of us, us, me, as we and more, as we as much more than any other factor in the last 223 years. And that's a fact, he said. Yeah, amen.
That is a fact, yeah.
It is.
Well, and kind of along those same lines, that I had one pulled up here that says, school promotes gender bender day, boys dressing as girls and vice versa.
Oh, my goodness.
And this comes from a Wisconsin newspaper. Debbie Hernandez, a 7-year-old son, won't be in school today after officials at Tippecanoe School for the Arts and Humanities confirmed they're still holding Switch It Up Day, a time for students to come dressed as members of the opposite sex. Hernandez tells EAG News the day was originally billed as Gender Bender Day, but the Tippecanoe officials made the name change after she called Principal Jeffrey Groff to complain about the title.
Well, good for her.
I have a problem with activities taking place, Hernandez says. She says it's ridiculous and creepy to ask the elementary boys to come to school dressed as girls and vice versa, and predicts that having students dressed as transvestites will distract them from learning processes. Hernandez knows of at least one other parent who shares her concern and plans to hold her child out of class too. But it's the motivation behind Switch It Up Day that has Hernandez's most concerned. She wonders if it is being done to promote the acceptance of homosexuality to students in school, which turns from pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Hernandez thinks it's inappropriate to expose young children to these issues, even if in a light-hearted manner. I mean, gee whiz, what's it coming to? That's, and it put it pretty good there in that article, you know, dressing up as transvestites. You know,
it's really no difference than the Will and Grace thing, only that was with adults. You know, I mean,
right.
It's light, the lighthearted stuff, you know, in the comic, and but it's, you know, they got some good one lines in there stuff, and
it introduces it.
Yep.
And so they
hard to say, I've never seen the show.
Yeah. Well, and with this, with Miss Hernandez, good for her. So, but you see how the enemy does. They change the name, but they're still doing it.
Yeah.
They still do it. You know, they've changed the name of perversion, and they call it gay. They've changed the name of homosexuality, and they call it same sex. And so that but it's still the same. It's still the same filth. It's still an abomination to God. It still will keep you out of the kingdom, no matter what they call it. But
it is the
time of the tares and the wheat. No, it ain't going to be a rope.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be fire.
I don't care what they call it. It's not the name behind it. It's what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, it's the act.
It
you
is.
Know, it's sin is what it is.
It's sin.
I mean, and I don't know. A lot of people don't even know that it's, you know, a man isn't supposed to dress like a woman.
That's
a biblical commandment.
They don't. And you know what? You know, and I respect that woman for saying what she did, but really, when you get to down to what she said, she was so polite about it, you know?
Yeah, lukewarm.
Why not just
exactly.
Say these stinking perverts are trying to influence my child to be some kind of a freak? You know, I mean, just put it out there, you know?
Amen.
I mean, what are they going to do, put her in jail? You know, I mean?
Pretty soon. Hate speech.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and the sad thing is here you got Hernandez, and Hernandez is, it's probably a Mexican. You got a Mexican that has got a problem with this, and one other parent that might be holding their child, I think it said might be holding their child out of school over this whole deal.
Well, and here's another thing. Well, you know, if they miss more than 5 days in this semester, you know, they're going to be, you know, I mean, it's so ridiculous. You know, everybody walks around in fear. You know, I mean, you can't even take your kids out and take them hunting for a week without them getting some kind of big reprobate, you know.
Yep.
In the schools, you know, what kind of parent are you to take them out of school for
can't
a week to be with your
right.
family?
You know, when I was in 8th and 9th grade, I started working at a skeet and trap club. And they would have a week-long shoot down there in Florida, like in January or February, because it's great weather. And so, you know, we're snowed in up here and wind and cold. But down in Florida, they're having week-long trap shoots. And we would get out of school, and I'd go to the principal and tell him, you know, the four or five guys I needed to take the week off school and come work with me. And he called my dad and touched base with him and said, clear it with your teachers. You know, make sure you've got all your school caught up. And we would. Five or six of us would miss a week of school and a couple times a year for that. And, of course, you're talking, what, 1979, 19, yeah, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82. And, you know, and as bad as it was then, at least you could do that. There was still, you know, the ability to do that. And then, you know, that's a shotgun club. And I'd work there Wednesday after school, and I can remember taking the assistant principal out to my car, Mr. Rusty Payne. He was a retired Marine, and showing him the new Remington 1100 we picked up. You know, showing it to him. First thing, he, you know, in the school parking lot at lunch, he puts it up, swings it. Oh, that's really nice, Richard. Keep that locked, and back in the trunk it goes. You know,
we used to have them in the back window of our pickup.
Oh, always.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Always.
We'd go hunting in October and they'd stay in the truck till, I don't know,
yeah.
Till maybe February
always.
Or March. Tell you, oh, maybe I should take right. that out, you know.
Yeah. And and several things here. One, nobody would mess with it. Nobody'd bust break your window and steal
your gun.
Wouldn't
even lock our trucks then.
No. Nobody would dare it because there was, you know, there was respect. We were a law-abiding society, at least in that area. And now, no, there's no law. No, you can't have that law. You know, one, it was nailed to the cross, but two, no, you can't have that. And it is just another attack on our society. Another, you know, we have, when this nation was founded, the law of the land was the law of God. And now it's the law of the jungle. It's changed. And
who are all these changes led by?
Well, Biden told you.
Biden tells you that it's the Jewish influence in America. Thank you. So, America, how do you like those changes? How do you like those changes, America? How do you like that your six-year-olds are told to dress up as the other gender when they go to school? Why do you think they do that? Why do you think it is? It's to get them to sin before God and to get used to doing it.
Well, that's why they came up with the truancy laws, that they had to keep them in those indoctrination bins.
Yep, and then on the other hand, they have the economy so bad that if there is a mom and dad in the home, they both have to work. That's what they project. That's what they project. If there is a mom and dad in the home, they don't both have to work. They don't. We have, and we know example after example after example of families that don't have their children in the public school system, and the mom stays home and educates the children. And there's example, even today, there's example after example of that.
If nothing else, it's a warning to watch out for stuff like what Jason just brought up. And if you do have your kids in the public school system, then you better be a watchman.
Very much so.
And they had that public school up there in Minnesota. It was kind of interesting because they closed its doors until further notice because of lack of funding. And it was a good-sized public school.
I think they closed 50 or something in the Chicago area, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, look at the tornado. What did it do? You know, typically the school was the place that people would go to try to
a place of refuge.
Out of a storm.
Right.
That thing got annihilated. You know, I think God's just saying it's, you know, he knows what's coming as far as the teachings are going to get much more perverse and much more ungodly. And also Jason brought up an interesting point, too. Obama's there saying we have to protect our schools. And God's like, oh, really? Good luck with that one.
Oh, yeah, and he was just boastful about it to the point of we are going to make our school safer. This is not going to happen in, you know, our schools again.
Yeah.
And our children are going to be safe, and I'm going to do this to make them safe. You know, that's what he's
right.
That's what he's quoting. And
yeah, you know, it's, what was interesting, too, is one of the Acres of Diamond Men sent me a link with a whole bunch of pictures from that thing. But, man, you look and you wonder. So many, that's the heartland there in Oklahoma, and so many strangers, so many mixed breeds, so many weirdos.
It's like that anywhere you go in America.
And everything. Oh,
you know, it's like that there. It's like that in Laramie. It's like that in Fort Collins. It's like that in Auburndale, Florida. It's like that in Salt Lake City. I mean, Portland.
Yeah,
you don't have any blue-haired people in Portland.
Well, that's
that you remember,
you know, Portland, San Francisco. I mean, that's the worst. I mean, it is. You know, I mean, but it's everywhere.
But see, even
it's
your small towns. Yeah. You know, your small towns. And you know, talk to. I know Tim is back. He's been with us for a few times, and I know he's back home. But you know, when Tim comes back, we'll ask him. He lives in a small town in Nebraska, and I bet you he would say that very same thing, because it
but
is.
You know how that,
it's
you know how that
everywhere,
happened, don't you? They've done it all through. Through moving people into these areas, into low-income housing. And, I mean, they've brought all the weirdos into the areas that were once predominant white, God-fearing Christians.
Well, the other thing that they do also is that they, just like the homosexuals, you know, they don't reproduce. You know, a rooster and a rooster don't produce another rooster. And a gelding and a gelding don't produce another gelding, and a queer and a queer don't produce another queer, not naturally.
A gelding and anything don't
exactly
anything else.
Exactly, and so they don't reproduce. So what do they have to do? They have to recruit.
Yeah.
And see, that's just what our enemy has done all across, not just the Heartland, but the Bible Belt and the Deep South and the conservative, what used to be the conservative Northwest. Everywhere is they convert through their boob tube. They convert. You know, they know we are sheep, we are copycats, and they put that out there, you know, that it's cool to wear your pants around your knees and have blue hair and all this kind of stuff. They put it out there, they put it out, and pretty soon the people are doing it. You know, the divorce that you know, now is just part of marriage in the land now. Even if the people get married, you know, it's divorce is just no-fault divorce in every state. You know, $99, you can take care of it. That came about when TV came in, because the Hollywood actors, oh, they, you know, the Cary Grants and that type, even in that beginning black and white generation, the first generation where TV came in, you know, that they would do that. They get married, divorced, just, you know, like changing your cup of coffee or changing a shirt. And, you know, that put it out to the people that, well, that's, well, they're doing it. If they can do it, I can do it. And that has worked for two, almost three generations now.
Yeah, and then the ministers, they all changed their vow things, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't blame a TV for divorce. I mean,
it's what they used.
It was something that was used against us.
Exactly.
There was something behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't say, oh, that it's the TV, or if it's the magazine, or it's the radio, or anything like that. We're talking about weapons of warfare.
Absolutely.
Right.
About. Absolutely we are. And our vice president told us who did it. It's
exactly.
The Jewish influence in America that has caused more divorce.
Can you ever remember him coming out like this, this bold, this brazen? Basically just point blank, I've never seen it.
No. It's the time of...
Well, yeah, but it's to that time, the way they can do that.
Right.
Know? They couldn't have did that 40 years ago.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Even though it was on the road, you know, it was on the road to there.
Well, right.
You
know? And they were doing it.
Yeah,
they were doing it.
What did he say, 220 or 230 years or something?
223 years.
Yeah.
223. That's an interesting number, wouldn't you say, Jason?
I'd say that's really interesting.
223. I really think that's a great number. You know,
55 grains.
It just flows. 223. It just flows.
And then every year, you know, it gets faster and faster, and the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then by the time they probably got to about 1985 or whatever, man, it's just one big snowball going downhill, you know. And, and I think, you know, well, it's like in Jason's opening prayer, you know. I mean, he brought up, keep your thoughts captive, you know. I mean, it is a thought crime war. I mean, this war is in the mind, you know. All these things, I mean, it is, they are directly attacking the mind, whether it's through TV or speeches or whatever it's through. It affects the people's minds. That's why that woman wouldn't come out and say, I think they're a bunch of perverts, you know, because she already knows that, man,
politically correct.
It's a war in the mind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's interesting is if you look at Sigmund Freud, right? He was, I think, from Europe or something. But anyways, I think it was, I read an article a long time ago, but I haven't been able to find it again. But anyways, Sigmund Freud's brother came to the U.S., I think it was in the 40s, and he got the American people to change from a society of needs to a society of wants.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they hired him for.
Yeah, it is it's coming to, you know, it's the, and that's just it. It's this growing season has been going on for a long time, according to our vice president, you know, 223 years, that the Jewish influence in America has brought us to where we are today. The Bible talks about it, as was mentioned earlier today. It's the parable of the tares and the wheat.
I think we get locked into when we talk about, you know, say that it's all the Jews, because is what we've got is we've got a whole host of antichrists, and we've got a whole host
Catholics
of terrorists.
Are strong,
strong
up there.
You know,
too.
But there's different groups of them that I think would fit in the category of antichrist or terrorists, and one of those groups is Jews. But we've got Catholics, we've got Muslims, we've got, you know, we've got terrorists, we've got and there's so many different groups of them that falls into that category, but that's not where it all came from,
right?
You know, we've got a lot of ministers, you know, and pastors that can fit into that category just as well.
Yeah, what you're talking about though is if they're not the Antichrist Jews, Edom or Esau, they're the two foremost sons of hell. You know, I mean they're the ones that they went out and proselyted. You know.
Yep.
They're the ones that, you know, yeah, there's a lot of ministers that probably ain't, you know, from Esau, Edom, but they've been proselyted into this thing to where, you know, they're going at the Israelite white man harder than the actual Jew is. I mean, and it's it's so disgusting. You know, and a lot of people wouldn't understand that. I understand that because I used to not. I wouldn't have been able to. I'll give one of Peter's quotes. I wouldn't have been able to fellowship myself, 15 years ago because I didn't understand a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's that ungodly influence.
It is.
You know, I agree wholeheartedly with you. You know, the Catholics, they fall right into the category of the Antichrist because they worship Mary, and Mary is not Jesus Christ. And the Muslims fall into the category of the Antichrist because they worship Allah, and Allah is not Jesus Christ. And the Hare Krishnas who worship Buddha, they fall in, and so it's almost like every other religion, they meet the category.
Anybody who says Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
And so many of the Judeo-Christian churches, because they worship a different Jesus. But, it comes back to, I think it comes right back to what the vice president said. It's, why is that? Because of the Jewish influence in America. Because they have stirred up the blacks against the white man. And they have infiltrated the seminaries so that today the Judeo-Christian churches don't preach the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And they have allowed it to where, like he says, the jurisprudence, meaning they have been prevalent in our jury system, in our law system that we have made, and how the laws have changed from the 16, 17, even 1800s, how they have changed to allow these Muslims in here and give them rights, and how the laws have changed that protect a woman's right to kill her child. And it's that influence that has changed America. And our vice president hits it just right. It's a Jewish influence that's done that have allowed the Catholics to come up and they're certainly in bed together. There's no doubt about that.
You look at what the Pope said this week, basically. Yep.
And John, when he got elected, you said
the atheist.
You said he was going to do that when he got elected.
What did he say this week?
He said, it says here, this is his quote, "The Lord has redeemed all of us, with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone, fathers, the atheist, even the atheist, everyone, and his blood makes us children of God, of the first class."
Yeah, see, that's universalism. That's the reconciliation of all things. So it doesn't matter what you do. Sinner or saint, doesn't matter.
Everybody's under grace.
Everybody.
Yep.
And that is a lie right out of the pits of hell. It's not from the word, it's from the pits of hell that Pope would put that out.
Stay tuned to tomorrow. But anyways, what's interesting is you never saw even a Pope being this bold and brazen. See what, you know what I'm saying? It's the parable of the wheat and the tares, and just shows you where we're at.
It is. It is.
Well, if you want to see, and I'm not trying to be, I know there's probably some of our people down there and in pain and sorrow, but if you want to see what our God can do, just look at Oklahoma, probably with what? Flip of his finger. I mean, probably with nothing,
Breathing out.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about they and what they're doing and just look, but I mean, I know most of the world because of the Antichrist forces or whoever they are, have put it in their minds that God doesn't do stuff like that. The scripture says he does.
He does.
And he's going to wake people up, whatever people there is up, with whirlwinds.
His way is the whirlwind and the storm.
Yeah, absolutely. He is, all we can do is warn, right? I mean, we put the warning out there and people either heed it or not, that's what we got to just keep doing is warning, because you don't know when that next storm's going to come towards your house, and you better be ready. I don't mean ready to fight the storm. I mean ready to meet your maker, and because it could happen at any time.
Amen. We should open up the phone line, see if anybody got anything they want to say.
Oh, I don't know. You really think we should do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're halfway through the program. And, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from Laramie, Wyoming, the Radio Ranch. And we've got our coffee and we've got our Bibles, and that's what we do. We sit around the microphone, drink our coffee, and just where it goes from there, who knows. But we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. We are less than 2 weeks away from Branson, only about 10 or 12 days, and we've had an excellent turnout for that. Did things a little different this year, but the people are certainly calling in and registering, and we've been updating numbers and hotel rooms, and it looks like it's just going to be a great gathering, and so we're certainly looking forward to it. We would appreciate it if you would keep it in your prayers out there. And if you're coming to Branson, make sure you call and let us know. If you don't, you won't know where it's at. So let's go
ahead. I was just going to put out, if there's anybody out there that's been convicted at all to get baptized, then you can make it to Branson. You know, it's always been one of the priorities of Pastor Peters, was to get people there and get them dunked.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah, and don't put it off.
Don't
put it off. You never know. An hour before, that tornado hit Moore, Oklahoma. Those people didn't think, the ones that died weren't thinking that they were going to be meeting their maker that day. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Wranglers. Timmy from Maine. I heard over the news in my native New York on areas over 2,000 foot elevation are looking at 6 inches of wet snow this late in spring.
Wow.
Unusual. Probably Adirondacks or Catskills. And I'm going to do some oiling, brothers. Can you pray a brief prayer over this oil but a bottle of olive oil yesterday?
We can sure do it, Tim. Heavenly Father, we pray as Tim requested, Lord. We anoint this oil. Let it be used, Father, to reclaim people, places, things to the glory of God and to the use of God. So, Lord, we do. We pray Jesus Christ into this oil. We pray your blessings into it, Lord. Be with Tim as he travels around and anoints places up in there in the Northeast. Give him safety and travel. And let your Holy Spirit travel with him, Lord. Guide and direct him where to go and what to do. Lord, we do. We thank you for this. We thank you for opening our eyes and giving us this knowledge of old for this anointing oil. And so, Lord, we use it to your glory. Let it be a blessing to you and your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I grew up in Syracuse, New York, which is, of course, the home of Syracuse University. If there's any one university in New York State that has certainly Jewish influence, it's SU. And to the east of SU is Thornton Park, which is a queer hangout. And to the east of that is a hippie neighborhood, the Westcott Nation. It's more of a planet. And you'll notice that a lot of these New Age areas, they happen to be in and around Jewish neighborhoods. That's no coincidence. I didn't tell the truth. He really put his foot in his mouth.
And all right, Tim.
Syracuse is very, it's very Catholic, and it's also Masonic. I mean, just tripartite devil's influence. And just over the city line and in the eastern suburb of DeWitt, very Jewish, is Jesuit-run Lemoyne College. That's no coincidence that Catholicism and Judaism and Masonry are just extensions of Judaism. They really are.
Yeah, unfortunately, Timmy, we're so far along in the game that he really didn't put his foot in his mouth,
Oh, no, he told the truth.
Yeah, and
he's bragging.
And people
he's
don't care.
Bragging.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right, and the people think it's great, Well, Tim, Godspeed. And
God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, brothers.
Yeah, it is. And again, that parable of the tares and the wheat, it as much as I'd like to see the bullets fly in the right direction and the rope swing, and I think that will happen, he's sending his angels to gather them up and burn them. I think that's what we're going to see. And I can't help but see when you see the news reports of Mount St. Helens cranking up again. And the there's a another volcano, I think, down in Brazil or somewhere, or Peru, that was spewing stuff out here just a week or so ago. And you see these things, and that's what it reminds me of that parable.
Well, it's like, you know, John always says, they're playing chess, we're playing checkers. Well, one of these days, God's just going to flip the board over.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And he's going to be playing. Yep. Yeah. And when he does it, he's not playing, that's for sure.
You know, kind of interesting this week. A friend of the family down here who's the youth minister, you know, Judeo-Christian, but he had a heart attack at 42, and I ended up texting the pastor of that church and said, hey, I said, do you want to anoint him and pray over him, follow James 5:14 and Leviticus 14:15? And it wasn't 10 seconds later, I get a yes back. And then, anyways, I went to the church, and we met there, and
church
we got
hospital?
To talking. What's that? I mean, to the hospital, I'm sorry. Went to the hospital, and we got to talking, and what was interesting was, you know, they're talking Judeo-Christian, and I'm talking real Christian, and they were saying how they're going to open a coffee shop in the front of their church to try to bring more people in, and, you know, we got to expand and go out for more, and I said, huh, that's funny. We're praying that God prunes the vine, and they just looked at me like I was nuts. But anyways, the good news is, as he was sitting there and praying, oh, Jesus, please help, you know, this and that, I anointed him and prayed with authority. And boy, those boys' eyes lit up. So I think God uses those things to try to proclaim the truth, even to those that are deceived.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, on the day of those, and there again, it comes down to their choice. You know, if they choose to, you know, they hear a godly man praying in godly authority, and they either choose to believe that or not. You know, to see that that is of God, that it is true, it is biblical, you know, or not.
Well, there's a couple things that could have happened there. They might have opened their eyes and said, oh, we got one of them.
That could be. That's fine too.
Or
you know,
or they might open their eyes and say, "Hey, you know, this guy said a lot of truth." You know, I mean,
this is what's really funny. As we're sitting there talking, the pastor left or whatever, and I was just sitting there talking to the guy who had the heart attack, and I said, "He's like, yeah, well, we want you know, tell me how he wants to expand the church, this and that." And I said, "Yeah, but how much time do you have? You know, nobody knows the day, not even the Son, only the Father." So you may have a week, you may have a couple days, you may have a couple hours. You guys are trying to start from ground zero. We're told in Ezekiel 3:17-19, and I recited it, you know, word for word. And he's like, "Oh, that's a scary scripture." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
And that's an associate pastor.
Well, yeah.
Well, and the shameful thing is, they're trying to expand the church without doing it the way they did it on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
When they added to the church 3,000 souls that one day.
Right.
And that's by telling them what they needed to do, and that's repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what
right.
I mean?
And they can't figure out why the church is not growing and why they lose people, and you know. And
yeah, but you do have a lot of...
But they don't baptize for the proper reason.
But even, it really doesn't have to do with growth in numbers, because Joel Osteen has a big following. And I guarantee you, they haven't been adding to the church. They've been adding to Joel Osteen's following. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, I mean, it's just... They missing the whole boat by missing the simple truth on how you obey the gospel.
But it goes back to what were they taught in seminary?
Yeah.
Numbers. That's what they're taught. Because and you know, part of that, you know, whoever it is, and I don't know these people, but I've sure seen it before. That and part of it, the reason it's taught like that in seminary is
well,
money.
Two reasons.
The more
people
out
of
the
kingdom of God.
And,
money.
And money for them. It's greed. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Chris in Virginia. Y'all coming in clear here today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to know that.
I was talking to a woman yesterday near a Jiffy Lube, and I mentioned something about the Second World War and how there were guys back in those days that were out there killing Nazis and killing Japs, and she just got this shocked look on her face and started stepping away from me because I said something about them killing Nazis and Japs. And as she retreated, I looked at Danielle and I said, if they hadn't have been doing that then, you and me wouldn't be having this conversation today, you know? But she was just, couldn't even countenance the concept that anybody would say Nazis and Japs and killing in the same sentence, you know? And it shows how far off the track these people are. They couldn't stand up against the onrush of marshmallow men today, you know?
No.
Yep.
Good point.
Well, thank you for the thing, man. And you were talking about the children dying in their schools. I'm saddened for the families. But the Bible says, I will forget your children if you forget me.
Yep.
There it is. Good day.
That's right.
Well, and let's put it out there. Children are a different story than adults.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're not held accountable like we are, you know.
Right.
Now, you know.
And the children, who do they belong to?
They belong to God.
They're God's. You know? Yeah. Yeah. He sends them.
Yep. They're in the grace period.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's absolutely right. And that's, I think it's Hosea 4:6. You know, we hear so much of that, Hosea 4:6. Oh, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And,
well, is that true?
It absolutely is true. You know, it is. But usually that's all you hear from Hosea 4:6.
There's more there, ain't there?
And there's more there. You know, and because it goes on and says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge, therefore you're destroyed. I also will reject you from being my priest. And aren't we all to be priests and kings?
Absolutely.
Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now, if that is not a sobering thought, because that is truth.
It's a cause and effect.
It is a cause and effect. If, then.
You know, and if you just take it in the common sense, it's just, that's the natural procedure. You know, you forget God, he's going to forget you, which is going to affect your children. I mean,
yeah,
it's just sad. You know, you talked about Japs or whatever, you know. Remember, obviously I wasn't there, but Jason, you went with Pastor, I don't know how many years ago it was, to, I think, Lake whatever up in, maybe it was Nebraska or wherever. And wasn't there a bunch of Chinese guys there? And the pastor said something to the guy cleaning the rooms or something about chinks, you know, because he liked to use shock therapy, you know. And, you know, you clean it up after those chinks, you know, and then something like have a good Independence Day. So it must have been around the 4th of July when you were there.
Yeah, we were there for the 4th of July, and we were sitting out in front of our cabin on the lake there. At the picnic table, and the cabins next to us had been rented out to a bunch of chinks. And the guy that owns the place, I mean, they were just some old rundown cabins. And he comes out there and he's picking up all their trash because they didn't pick up their trash. And we got into talking to him, and pretty soon Peter's like, he looks at him and he's like, "So how you like picking up after them chinks?" Oh, you should have seen the look on the guy's face. It was absolutely hilarious.
And you're talking about Nebraska, let alone San Francisco or somewhere, you know.
Right.
And because it's been a war of the mind, you know, and they have everybody looking around. And Peter was a master at using that shock therapy, you know, to get reactions, you know.
Yep.
Takes guts to do it.
Yeah, it takes something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stones and guts.
Stones, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, this end of May. May is almost over. The time is just flying by. And, again, we mentioned Branson. And like Kyle said, if you have not been properly baptized, according to Acts 2:38, and you want to be a Christian, you need to be properly baptized. If you can make the Branson gathering, you can give us a call here. Our office number, not the call-in number this morning, but the office number during office hours where we can get you set up to come to Branson, 307-742-7582. And, you know, we
yeah, that's good to get that number out, because I talked to some couple more people this week, and they were like, oh, I was trying to call the office. And I'm like, well, what number were you calling? And they were trying to call in that call-in line.
Right. So that, yeah, the call-in line's just for the live broadcast. So 307-742-7582, and that number's out in the last two Dragon Slayer newsletters, Volume 4 and Volume 5, that are out there. And so you can take a look at those. And, again, you have to contact us because we're not putting out where the Branson area gathering is. We're having to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, well, there's the phone lines, and we'll go to it. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. This is Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
A couple things to discuss with you here. This thing with the Boy Scouts, you heard what happened there, didn't you?
Yeah, they voted to allow openly gay boys into the Boy Scouts, but still not openly gay leaders.
Ah, but see, now, there was something that you don't hear too much about. And this was back to an article I read a couple months ago in a newspaper where they said that the Boy Scouts had a history of pedophile leaders having done some pretty atrocious stuff to some of the kids, and it was covered up, and the other leaders all covered it up, and they have their sodomy files, and the media knows they have it, and the media outright threatened them. They said, right there in the media, you know, right there in that article, if the Boy Scouts do not vote this way to allow the queers in, you know, the gay kids in there, we are going to demand that an investigation into the leadership. So there you go. You know, the pedos that crept in into the leadership.
Sounds like the Catholic Church to me.
Yeah, it's very.
They had to cover their butts, and they threw the whole thing down the tubes to cover their own butt.
Sure, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, those rumors, you know, and most of the time where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, most of the time, not all the time, but those rumors have been going out since, man, for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a known fact. I mean, if you're one of those disgusting perverts, you're going to put yourself in a position where you can fulfill the lust of your flesh. What are you going to do? You're going to be an ice cream man.
Right.
You're going to be
a Boy Scout leader.
A Catholic priest. You know, you're going to be a Boy Scout. Yeah.
Yeah, where you can do that. Well, Bob, we got two more phone lines calling. Appreciate the comment. We'll try to get those on as well.
Got a couple other things I got to tell you if you got a minute. Hey,
go ahead.
There's a scripture that you guys got to be aware of here. Something's got to be brought to light here. Deuteronomy 32.
The Song of Moses.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 32. What is this? 8? It's different when you read it in the Septuagint. The scripture that I'm talking about is when the Most High divided the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Masoretic, it reads, when the Most High divided the nations, he set the boundaries according to the number of the children of Israel. That's not the way it reads in the Septuagint. In the Septuagint, it says, when the Most High divided the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the nations according to the number of the angels of God. And his people, Jacob, became the portion of the Lord. Israel was a line of his inheritance. And that particular scripture right there is one of the ones that the early church writers use as a proof text that the Pharisees were changing the text at their time. Now, there's a big difference between setting the boundaries of the nations according to the number of angels, which would be no doubt reference to the watchers, and these then later became the gods of those nations when they fell away from the true God. You know, they've changed this for a good purpose.
You know, Bob,
not
I think
a good purpose. I mean, a purpose that they right. feel is to their benefit.
Right. I remember the pastor. I believe he addressed this in the Gods series mm-hmm. that he did, and you know, we'll put a little teaser out to just keep that in the back of your mind, and because we're planning on bringing that back as well. So
another thing here, you know, with the Bollinger
Book of Numbers
Bible. Well, you know, that the amount of information that that guy puts out is just dazzling. But I found something very, very wrong here. When you go into Acts 2:38, and then you look down into the notes that he has on there, he refers you over to the back of the book to his references over there. And the part that he refers you to is a section on baptism that he has, you know, a particular writing on in the back there. And Bollinger outright says that the baptism that the apostles were doing was a transitional dispensation that was done away with.
Well, Bob, there's so many people that don't pass the Shibboleth test, you know, and it's one of those things where they you know, 90% cornmeal, 10% poison, or 99%.
That, I mean, there is your 2.38% poison yeah, that he right. put in
yeah.
there.
Hey, yep. he's not the only book that we carry that right. they don't pass the Shibboleth test, you know, unfortunately.
Right. You get great information from him.
I have heard that particular line so many times used by Baptists and Calvinists, where they say, "Oh well, you know what was going on in the Acts with the baptism? That was just transitional, and then that water baptism stuff was done away with. That was, you know, when the Holy Spirit baptism came in."
Right.
But well, you know, when you look into the early church writings, that was never dispensationalized away. They were carrying it on exactly the same. It was still water baptism in the name right. of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And it still is. It still is today. And that's how you become a Christian. So, well, Bob,
but
thanks
I
so much.
Where their error came in.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks so much. We'll try to get this one other caller before we go.
Okay, you got
have
there,
a, have a great weekend, Bob. Thank
thanks,
you.
Bob.
And caller, thanks for holding, and thanks for calling in on Saturday morning.
Well, good morning, guys. It's Valerie in Oklahoma.
Good morning, hello. Valerie.
Hi. I was thinking about what John said about them trying to get more people into the church with a coffee shop, and I don't know how things are there in Colorado, but if they're anything like they are here in Oklahoma, they'd probably have better luck with a tattoo parlor.
Yeah, that's true, shop. Huh?
Yes. I grew
piercing.
Up in more. You guys, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, or piercings.
Exactly. You guys were talking about more, and I grew up there, and
wow.
You know, and that was in the 70s, and it was just full of God's people. And now, like you guys were saying, it's just full of, I mean, a lot of freaky-looking people. I saw in some of the news footage people with T-shirts with skulls on them and just people tattooed up and pierced up, and it's changed a lot since I was there.
Yeah, it's very symbolic there of how our almost our entire society has become.
Exactly. It's very
sad.
Very sad. Yes, very sad. Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know, anybody that was listening last Saturday, we were able to get those videos to work. We had to change our internet browser. We actually had to change it on all three of our computers. And the God Save America and the DC Street Sorcery are working great for us now. And I just wanted to call and make that correction, and so in case also, you know, if anybody else is having that same problem, you might check your internet browser, and now they're working great.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you guys have a good Memorial Day weekend, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you. Well, we've still got a few minutes left here on Saturday Morning Coffee, and
you know, it doesn't matter how many tattooed people or perverts or porno shops or whatever was in more. The Word of God says that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
So we who aren't tattooed up, who aren't, you know, going to porno shops, who aren't doing all this garbage, we better be ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Missouri town, Joplin, a couple years ago, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of good people there, good in manner of people. You know, there's none good but one. But there was a lot of good people there that, you know, either lost their lives or lost their homes or, you know, because a judgment from God came, you know. And like I said, you never know when you're going to meet your maker. You never know when something's going to happen, you know. Just be ready, you know, and add to the church. I mean, it's, several things have been brought out today that, you know, if you're going to add to the church, you have to do it biblically, properly, you know, and we have addressed that. And I can't say it enough that, man, if you're convicted at all, don't put it off.
Yeah.
Because you might live in the next Moore, Oklahoma, or the next Joplin, Missouri. Don't put it off. Got to be ready.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, the thing I don't think people realize, too, and I wrote an article on judgment for this, or next month, I think. But anyways, we're being judged right now. I mean, if you think about it, at the time of judgment, those books are open.
Yeah.
One of them is the Book of Remembrance, and that's the history of what you did and what you, you know, when you stood for Christ. And so don't think, you know, it's not going to be right when Jesus comes back. He's going to judge you for the 5 minutes that before he gets there. It's your whole life.
Well, in that one book, John, your name better be written in it.
Exactly.
You know, if it's not written in it, you're I'm sorry, but you know, if you're of accountability, you're done.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Guys, I think we got time for one more quick caller. Well, guess not. We're about out of time here. A couple more minutes. Jason, what can we expect at church tomorrow?
Well, we're going to get started off with scriptural review of the news, and we'll get started with that at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, and then we'll have our song service, communion service, and then another message, a vintage message, and you'll just have to tune in to see what we've got for tomorrow.
Sounds good, and you can do that at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, right there on the home page on the top left-hand side. As Jason said, at 10 a.m. Mountain, that's 11 Central and noon on the East Coast, right there on the website, just click on the live video stream. And it's not working right now, so it's kind of like the phone number. It only works at that time when we're there live at the church. So you got to wait till then, but we do invite you to join us there. And, you know, don't – even if it's just joining us like that, it's fellowshipping with the saints. It's joining together in praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And
putting the world aside for a couple hours.
Absolutely. And putting doing that and partaking of communion. You know, examining ourselves and remembering, taking time, like John said, to step away from the world, to remember the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made for us. And it truly was a great sacrifice. And you can also hear it right here on the Saint, this shortwave frequency. If you don't have a computer or you don't have the internet, the audio will be broadcast out as well. So there's the invite. We invite you to join us tomorrow. The fasting is going well. We still have, you know, through June 9th available. If we have all the dates covered with at least two, but if you still want to participate, let us know. Give us a call at the office, 307-742-7582. Men, thanks a lot for joining us. And we'll go out with this song. The pastor sure liked it. We do too. See you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay
high.
Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Talk about
hit 'em up, they cry.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out,
ride 'em out, ride 'em more.
They cry.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out,
ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move